This is the Apollo Bay Health Check, brought to you by the Apollo Bay, by Otway Community Health. Hello, Deborah.
Hello, Bob.
How are you?
Great and improving.
Great and improving. Deborah Chiraza, she just gets better. That's her personal logo line.
She
just gets better. So what's been going on?
It's been an interesting week. I wanted to start off with a gorgeous little story to share with you this week, Bob.
Yep.
I had somebody knock at my office door yesterday, I think it was, and somebody popped their head in and said, oh, we've made an appointment for you for 2 o'clock this afternoon. Somebody wants to come in and see you. And I said, okay. Saw the name in the diary, didn't know what the meeting was about, but really wasn't bothered because, after all, I am the CEO of Otway Health and I should be there to meet with people when they need to meet with me, whatever the discussion needs to be about. And this chap came in, and I don't have his permission to use his name, so I won't use his name. But he came in, and I had the most delightful 20-minute chat with a local gentleman who was one of our very senior citizens. And he came in to see me simply because he'd heard my surname. So he wanted to know where my family came from, if it was near where his family came from.
Oh, fantastic.
So we had a lovely conversation about the old country, all about the Italiano. And the Italianos in Apollo Bay in the district. And it was just delightful. And I was thinking about it last night and thinking, you know, we think that CEOs have really important jobs. And yes, we do. And we work really hard. And yes, we do. And all those other things. But every so often, delightful things happen. And it makes me reflect at the end of the day how privileged I am because I get to meet amazing people all the time.
Yeah. And did you score a good recipe? Did you get any good recipes?
We didn't actually discuss recipes, but he did know that where my father comes from, there is a famous pasta factory, and he talked about that particular particular brand of pasta. So we did talk spaghetti, of course.
Indeed.
So we've got to do a few little ads.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Can I hit away with things, Bob?
Yes, you can.
We just need to remind people that next Monday is a public holiday for the Anzac Day closures, and we just want people to be aware that obviously our urgent care unit and our clinical units are business as usual. Of course, we don't close down, but a lot of the Monday to Friday type services will be closed on Monday. Of course, if there's an emergency, you can dial 000 at any time. We always like to remember to talk about our friends next door with Ambulance Victoria, and the urgent care unit is open 24/7 if somebody needs to call in. And just be aware that if you thought you had an appointment on Monday the 25th of April, you may need to just check that.
So just to remind us, the difference between urgent care and an emergency. So when would I go to the one or the other? Okay, I'm sitting at home and I've got a pain in my chest. Oh, I'm a bit sus
about it. We know the story about pains in the chest, Bob. What do? We dial 000 because
that's the
important thing. For a chest pain or an emergency or a trauma or an accident or something that's really full on, need urgent emergency care there on the spot, you call 000 in the first instance. Our unit is called an urgent care unit, and it's to do with politics. It's about the size of an organisation on whether you can call it an emergency department or an urgent care unit. Because we're a multi-purpose service, our unit is called an urgent care unit. But of course, we don't close our door to anybody, and assessment is made when people arrive. We used to have our unit named the Accident and Emergency Unit.
Yeah. Which would confuse people about
That's right. However, because of some of the rulings from the Department of Human and Health Services, who we're responsible to, we have to be mindful that our unit is particularly called a urgent care unit. But we treat people as they need to be treated when they arrive.
Okay, so if I've got, you know, a gripey tummy and it's not... it's getting gripier, then, and it's keeping me up and I'm worried about it, then that would be more like urgent care than an ambulance.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I see. If you're able to... that's a really hard question because it's hard to actually define when you should ring the ambulance or just put yourself in the car. And if you don't think you can drive, don't drive. Simple
rule. Well, if you don't think you can drive, it's an ambulance for sure.
That's right.
But if it's something that's bothering you and you're not... you know, you don't think it's an emergency, I guess that's a call for urgent care,
And do you know what? We have a gorgeous young woman sitting beside us. Maybe we should direct that question to her.
Maybe she knows the difference because you're full of all the latest information. Do you got any light about the difference? This is Emma. Emma, what's your surname?
Amy. That's all right. Amy Fitzgerald.
Amy Fitzgerald. All the way from the Big Smoke from Melbourne. Yeah. And you're a third year medical student.
That's right. Yeah, I'm in my second last year of medicine at Melbourne Uni.
Okay. Well, that's the only place to do medicine, really, isn't it? Let's face it.
Well, they'd like to think so.
Well,
Monash and others might be a little bit disturbed by that, might they, Amy?
Yeah, I know. But my wife did medicine at Melbourne, so I'm a Melbourne snob too. So, do you know the difference between the time when you present to A&E or urgent care or whatever they call it and when you call an ambulance?
Yeah, well, I think my main advice to anyone would be if you're very concerned or in doubt, it's probably best to call an ambulance.
Yep.
However, if you can drive and you're less concerned, then it's probably okay to go to urgent care.
If you've got something that's bothering you and you probably know what it is and you know that you probably even know what sort of treatment helps it get better, then you go down to urgent care.
Yep.
But if you're a bit, not sure what it is and it's freaking you out a bit, then you call the ambulance.
Yes. I think if you're very concerned, you should always call an ambulance.
That's right. Just make sure you're a member first.
Yes.
Especially in Apollo
Very
Bay.
Important to be a member of Ambulance Victoria.
Just while we're talking about the ambulance, Bob, it is worth noting that they do have a call centre, that they have a system where they will ask a series of questions as well. And they can sometimes determine that you may be able to make your own way to a facility, or they will then determine whether they need to get somebody, and being married to a paramedic, I know the old jargon about lights and sirens, etc. So they will often determine that during the conversation. Mm. Probably the most important message from any of us around dialing the ambulance is to try and stay calm while you're talking to them, because if you can get through the information more quickly, you'll get a better response more promptly. And that's what we always want to make sure people get looked after really well.
We do. And mostly we do here in Apollo Bay. We do. We're fairly well off. So how long have you been here in the Bay?
This is my fifth week. So
5 weeks. So you're a veteran now.
I am. I feel like a local.
And
wonderful place.
And so what do you do? You're at the general practice, at Apollo Bay General Practice, working with Manny?
Working with Manny. So, been here for 5 weeks now, got one more week to go, and helping him in the clinic and also helping him up in the hospital when he needs and getting to do a lot of really interesting things and meeting a lot of really wonderful people.
So when someone comes in for an appointment, then Manny says this is Emma?
Amy.
Amy and Emma. This is Amy, and she's a student, and do you mind if she stays?
Yes, exactly.
And does anyone say, yes, I do mind, I'd rather she wasn't here?
A couple of people. There's always,
How do you feel when that happens?
That's fair enough. Yeah, I mean, everyone's health is a personal thing. So it's quite understandable that some people would prefer just to keep things between themselves and their doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
But most people are very, very happy to have me and very happy to let me learn from them, which is very generous. So I very much appreciate it when they do let me stay.
So if they don't, you go out and practice doing bandages or tying suture knots or something?
Yeah, I'm going to say that for the radio purposes. Yes.
So have you got an idea of where you're heading in medicine?
Yeah, I'm really interested in women's health and public health. So possibly obstetrics.
Okay.
But we'll see.
Well, yes, indeed. That's a very worthy path to...
Yes.
To wander down. Now, we're talking a bit about coughs and colds and stuff today.
But I wanted to ask a question first.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Amy, what's been the highlight of being in Apollo Bay?
That's a hard question because there's been a lot of very enjoyable aspects.
We've got to remember our community are very proud of Apollo Bay.
Yes,
they love
their
town.
They should be. I'd say probably just a lot of the people that I've met and that I recognise now and will have a chat with. So just before I came in, Georgina, the practice manager, asked me to go and get a particular patient and take her in, and I knew who it was and did that. And she's like, oh, you know, you're a veteran here now. You knew exactly who that was. So that, you know, it's nice just getting to know everyone and feeling like you've been included in the community, which I have.
And from your perspective as the placement being for your profession, what's been the highlight in being in a GP practice?
I've had an opportunity to do lots of procedures, which has been really fantastic. So lots of suturing and putting in IV lines, that type of thing. Yep. So that's been really fantastic. You don't get to do a lot of that one-on-one in the big hospital when you're competing with lots of other medical students and sick people.
And it's often in much more of a hurry too, isn't it?
Exactly.
So give it to the guy that's done 400 of them.
Exactly,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. And we don't mind being guinea pigs here in the Bay.
Yes, everyone's been very nice.
We're not too fussy about a crooked suture. That's all right.
Hopefully my sutures are not too crooked though.
I'm sure they're not. Have you been jabbing people with the flu?
I have. Everyone warned us that if you do your GP rotation around flu season, you'll be doing many a day, and they weren't wrong.
Okay. And so you're getting good at it?
I think so.
Do you apologise first?
No. It's good. It's definitely worthwhile getting the flu back, so.
Yeah. My wife's a GP and she always apologises before she gives you a jab. She says, sorry, bang. Not that it hurts.
She's very nice.
Yeah. Well, on a good day.
She is very nice.
So why would you, why would you get a flu vax? Why wouldn't you just say, you know, isn't it true that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger and that, you know, your system will recover and you'll be more, if you don't have it, you've got an opinion about that?
Yeah, so for a lot of people, that may well be true, that they may not contract the flu, or if they do, it may not have serious consequences. However, there's a lot of people in the community, particularly the very young and the elderly, and also people with various chronic health conditions where the flu is actually a very serious illness. So it's actually responsible for about 13,000 hospitalisations in Victoria and 3,000 deaths among Australians over the age of 50. So it actually is quite a serious illness.
So 3,000 people, Australians a year, die of the flu?
Correct.
Good grief.
Yeah.
You don't think people die of the flu, do you?
No, so it's actually quite serious.
Grow a backbone, get over it. Oh, okay, right.
No, I think that might be where a few people get a little bit confused with the common cold and the flu. So they can have similar symptoms because they're both respiratory infections, so they both affect your lungs and your upper airways. But the flu is usually something that you can get over. It's not a virus that kills anybody or has any serious consequences compared to the flu, which does.
Yep.
And the flu is the symptoms you get with the flu, even though they're similar, they're often much more severe and debilitating than a common cold.
Yep.
And even once you've passed your infectious period, you can have ongoing effects like a chronic cough and ongoing fatigue for quite a few weeks after.
So if you're going to catch the flu from someone, or a cold, I suppose, when do you get it? Is it early in the cycle or when they're all snotty and frothy?
Terms of the illness?
Yeah. So if you've got the flu or a cold and I haven't, When should I particularly stay away from you?
Well, unfortunately, you're often most contagious before symptomatic.
You've got symptoms.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's probably the most time, which unfortunately you can't really tell, which is another reason why the flu vax is a good armour against it.
And it's quite a concoction this year, isn't it? It's because they keep changing it for different strains. Yes,
correct. So the thing with the flu is it's a very clever virus, as most are, and it actually competes against each other every year, and a particular strain of the virus will win out in a particular year. So that will be the dominant or one of the dominant strains going around. So it actually varies quite a lot from flu season to flu season, which is why it's recommended to get a flu shot every year.
Every year. Yeah. Okay. You got anything to add to that?
No, I think our Melbourne University medical student is very brilliant with her knowledge. And
I was thinking we might have to detain her.
Providing us with some very, very high-level information. I was going to ask her about the man flu, which is obviously a lot different to the normal flu.
Much more serious.
Yes. But perhaps we might leave that for another day, Bob.
Shall we have a little bit of music while we regroup before we press on? Something just for you, Deborah. Well, I don't know if you'll like it or not, but we'll find out in a minute. This is 3ABR, the Apollo Bay Health Check, brought to you by Otway Community Health.
If I listen long enough to you, someone like you makes it hard to live without somebody else.
This is the Apollo Bay Health Check, brought to you by Otway Community Health, and we're very grateful for their support here at ABR, your growing community radio station. If you'd like to be involved, it's easy. Just pop by, jump on the website, jump on our Facebook page, or send us an email to onair@3abr.org. And any contribution you care to make would be most welcome. And all criticisms are welcome too. So we're talking about flu vaccinations with Amy, who's here for another week. She's been here for 4 weeks.
Correct.
Helping Manny out. Not that Manny needs a lot of help, but I'm sure he's grateful for it. So the flu vaccination this year, they change every year, don't they?
Yes, that's right.
So why do they change every year? So flu's the same, isn't it?
Well, the virus itself is very clever. It will change from season to season, just slightly enough that our body gets confused.
Okay.
So it needs a little bit more help to get it under control if you do catch it in a different year. So that's the main reason why you need to get a new shot every year.
Yeah.
And there's actually a very big convention every year the World Health Organization holds, and that's where a lot of people from all over the world come together and work out what types of flu strains have been circulating around, and they decide what goes into the flu vax.
I see. Okay. And it's important that everybody gets, or as many people as possible, get vaccinated against the flu because...
Well, obviously you want to protect yourself from getting the flu. It's not particularly fun virus to have. It can really knock you about for quite a few weeks. But another really important reason to get it done is because, unfortunately, for various reasons, not everyone in the community can be vaccinated against diseases such as the flu. Mm. And so these people rely on other people in the community to be vaccinated. And essentially, the more people that are vaccinated, the less a bug such as the flu will be spread around to other people. So the more people that get vaccinated, the better protected the very vulnerable in the community will be.
And it'd be standard issue for health professionals, I would think.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So doctors, nurses, AMBOs, everybody would have that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. As soon as we got the new flu vaccination in, everyone in the clinic was lining up to have their flu shot.
And Manny was saying,
yes.
Well, that's great. And so if people haven't had their flu shot yet, they can just pop down to the general practice.
They certainly
and
can.
And if you're 65 or older, it doesn't cost you anything?
That's correct. And there's also a few other people in the community that can get free vaccinations. So as you said, any adult over the age of 65, any individual over the age of 6 months who has a particular chronic medical condition which puts them at increased risk of complications of the flu, such as chronic airways disease or asthma. Pregnant women at any stage during their pregnancy, and also Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children less than 5 years, and also any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander person over the age of 15.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's about covered the flu.
I think we've done very well.
I think you have. You don't happen to sing or play an instrument, do you?
Sadly, no. I wish I did.
That's a pity because we're looking for musical people, well, the Otway Health are, to pop up to Laura Pengelly, where they've all been vaccinated, I'm sure, by now, everybody, residents and staff, to sing and dance and play and otherwise provide any kind of amusement at all, really.
Absolutely, Bob. Our residents absolutely love it when anybody musically inclined visits.
Yep.
We have a piano. We have music that plays regularly for the residents. We have spontaneous concerts. We have all sorts of things, but we are looking for some volunteers who are able to spend some time on a regular basis to come and visit the residents and play music for us. If they can ring Melanie Howe, our volunteers coordinator, on 5237 8500 to let us know that they would be interested or available, we'd be really grateful.
And that'd be really worthwhile, particularly if you know older style or music of the time. I've seen some documentary stuff, and the looks on people's faces when music that they remember is played, whether it's live or on headphones or whatever, they just come alive. It's just fantastic.
Well, music's a bit like love, isn't it? It's the universal language.
Deborah, don't get girly.
I'm getting all mushy today.
Okay, but that is important. So if you play or bang a drum or sing, do get in touch with Melanie, 5237 8500, and have some fun and help someone else out. That's a win-win proposition. Is there anything more to say today?
Thanks, Amy. That was so informative. Thank you for sharing that information with us and
no
our
problem.
Listeners.
Happy trails, Amy.
Me.
And come back when you graduate. We will let you go and finish your studies. And then we'll figure if we can invite you back when you graduate.
Well, if you have me, then I'd be very happy to come back.
It'd be a great spot to practice, wouldn't it?
It would. It's a very beautiful part
it
of the state.
Is. Full of beautiful people. This has been the Apollo Bay Health Check, brought to you by Otway Community Health on 3 ABR.